Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And it's one of our favorite times of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, how we doing, brother? What's going on?
Not a lot. Just trying to hang in on Deshaun Watson. I guess, what are we, late March, and I see that Good Morning Football is discussing all-time favorite mascots, so it must be getting thin.
It must be.
News is thin on the NFL Network. If you're not talking about Deshaun Watson, you got to find something else.
You're exactly right. It's been kind of impressive to see what different ideas they come up with on the NFL Network. It's on the screen in front of us as well, so... kudos to them, I suppose.
Favorite NFL mascots?
The volume's off, honestly. I'm just like, okay. I was like, I guess we could talk about this rather than talk about Deshaun Watson. Nobody will notice.
What a time. Well, Charles, speaking of Deshaun Watson, we talked about it a lot last week in your time with it. There have been developments since then, more lawsuits added, and then just a crazy piece coming out yesterday from SI.com, kind of highlighting some of the details of Deshaun Watson and an encounter that a woman had with him. What have you thought of the details that have come out since last week, since the last time we spoke, and where this could continue to go from here?
Yeah, I think it was an important piece. I mean, obviously it was anonymous to protect the, you know, alleged victim's identity, but I think it's important for a couple of factors. Number one, you're talking about a woman who is not involved with Tony Busby, who's now filed 19 civil suits against Deshaun Watson. And I think there's this subtle narrative, or not so subtle narrative, coming out of, you know, Deshaun Watson's camp that, hey, this is one lawyer and you know, this is a money grab. And they're kind of giving off this vibe that this is just someone signing up, you know, running around trying to sign up as many you know, masseuses who had contact with Deshaun Watson for this money grab. So they keep pointing at one attorney. Well, now there's a second attorney. And, you know, UA Lewis is, if you are in the city of Houston, you know who she is and you know, her civil rights track record. And the fact that this accuser spoke to SI and has not, turned away from Tony Busby, decided I don't want to go, you know, with that lawyer, and is now sitting there mulling options and has not really moved forward, is significant, because it takes it from this being one lawyer dominated issue to now it's two lawyers. It's you know, a woman who's not with the first group, and it starts to become hard to just point at one lawyer and say, well, it's one lawyer causing all of this for Deshaun Watson. And you know, I think, again, you're innocent until proven guilty, and this is one accuser's story, but the details in the Sports Illustrated piece, they map pretty similarly to the suits that have been filed in terms of the alleged behavior of Deshaun Watson. So, you know, Nick Caserio, the general manager of the Texans, said, you know, on a team-related podcast that they're taking this really seriously. And, you know, I think people can kind of remove this idea that I actually heard somebody ask the other day, like, is this going to be cleared up before the draft? Like, is Deshaun going to be traded? No, like, this isn't going to be cleared up before the draft. And if Deshaun Watson gets traded at this point, I would say that whoever deals for him, it is the monumental dice roll, the most monumental dice roll I've ever seen in NFL history. Like, I can't even imagine a team at this point going down that, you know, that path. So, another thing too, that I think the Sports Illustrated piece underscores, I don't think this is over. I tend to believe that we're going to see more lawyers. I tend to believe we could see other individuals come out, with other legal representation. I don't know that this is something that's going to be contained now just to two lawyers. So, this thing is spiraling, and at some point, I think I just don't know what the NFL can do here. Like, at some point, the NFL has to make a decision here and can't just simply say, hey, we're investigating, and, you know, pretty soon there's 20-plus civil suits, and we're just going to go ahead and let the legal process, you know, play out, when it has not done that in past cases in terms of putting people on the commissioner's exempt list.
So you think that they might actually do that?
Yes, I do. I absolutely think that that's a possibility. It's going to come down to, you know, Lisa Friel, who's the vice president of what I always say, you know, league investigations. She's reached out to Tony Busby. I believe what's going to happen now, she's going to reach out to UA Lewis to see if she can speak to this woman who spoke to Sports Illustrated. This was a process that was pretty similar to how things were going with Antonio Brown after he had been released by the Patriots. Now, what occurred in that instance was they reached a point in their investigation where they sent, you know, memos to every NFL team saying, look, here's the deal. Paraphrasing here, we're in the midst of this investigation, and they strongly suggested that if you sign Antonio Brown, be aware that he is subject to basically league action in some form. What they were essentially telling teams, we're going to put him on the commissioner's exempt list until we resolve this, and then he could be suspended after that. So just know that. I think eventually they're going to get there with Deshaun Watson, where they're going to have to say, you know, we have to put him on the exempt list, you know, at least until the season starts, to sort out exactly where we'll be come August. And if that happens, he can't have any contact with, you know, whatever team, if he's with the Texans or any other team. I mean, he's set to the side. He's essentially a non-rostered player.
Okay, so anyway, what's your favorite NFL fight song? Is Gridiron Heroes number one? No.
Have they moved on to that? Yeah,
let's change. Exactly. I'm assuming that's going to be on GMFB here soon. In serious questions, what is your expectation and what's your evaluation of the move here to get that ends up with the Niners at 3?
So it was pretty interesting. I reached out to somebody in the 49ers organization prior to this happening to basically test, find out what the level of interest was in Deshaun Watson. And you know, you have the Jets, you have the Dolphins, the Broncos, the 49ers, the Panthers. And of all those teams, it was clear to me that the 49ers were definitely not, they had zero interest in what was going on in Deshaun in terms of like understanding the background and, you know, maybe what they weren't reading. Did they want to know or understand maybe some other parts of the case? They had no interest. And I was like, okay, they're clearly locked onto something else here. They're moving somewhere else. And then obviously the trade comes down that pushes them up to number 3. I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, they're sitting there at 3 and I lean into familiarity of system styles of quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan, you know, has had in the past. When you talk about Kirk Cousins who he had a great affinity for, and I think he still does, you know, Matt Ryan, that is the Mac Jones wheelhouse in Alabama. And that's why a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, it makes too much sense, put Mac Jones here at 3. And I always thought Mac Jones was going to be a guy who was going to climb up the board anyway. But I will say this, Shanahan, I think, is similar to Sean Payton in that I think he's arrogant enough, and I say that in a good way, that he doesn't subscribe to this idea of why I'm just locked into whatever a style. Like, if he sees a great quarterback, say it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields, and he says, I don't care that that's not the prototypical guy I've worked with, I really like what he brings to the table, and I think that's where the league is moving toward. I would not discount the Niners taking one of those two guys in that spot rather than a Mac Jones. And the reason why I dropped Sean Payton in the conversation is because Sean Payton looked at Taysom Hill, and despite everything that's going on with Jameis Winston, I truly believe Sean Payton would love Taysom Hill to become everything he thinks he could be at the quarterback position, because he looks around and he sees players who play more in the fashion of a Taysom Hill and thinks that's where the NFL is going. So don't discount Kyle Shanahan saying, hey, we want to get ahead of the curve here, and it's not just the statuesque Matt Ryan type guy, or the statuesque, you know, Kirk Cousins type guy. But by the way, Mac Jones, I don't know if you guys saw this. He's a little doughier than I realized.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I saw some of these pictures, and I'm like, yeah, I got, all right, look at the guy, kind of. I could get with that guy.
Charles, that Dreamland barbecue down in Tuscaloosa is really good, man. He's been
exactly.
eating it up.
He's clearly hitting Dreamland.
That's right. No. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, the amount of drooling going on the other day on Twitter in Zach Wilson's pro day was something to behold. Are the top two quarterbacks in this draft with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson good enough to where maybe even the Jags and the Jets can't screw this up? Like, Chris Sims basically called Zach Wilson like a combination of Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. So no pressure coming into the league. Are they going to be this good?
I love draft. I love draft season. It's awesome. Trevor Lawrence, all I can say is every single evaluation on him from whoever you talk to, you know, it's not through the roof, it's pretty close. So everybody believes in Trevor Lawrence being, you know, everything he's cracked up to be, you know, and I've heard somebody just talking to some guy, he said, look, man, the floor is, he has a career like Andrew Luck, where he's a really good player, but maybe he gets hit a lot or whatever.
The floor.
Oh. Yeah. Like people really believe that he's, you know, he's got everything. He's got the leadership qualities. He's got the arm. He's got, you know, length. He's athletic, like all these different things. And so, you know, I yield to teams on this one. I mean, I don't know that there's a guy I've heard this much positive stuff about consistently for years, and I don't know who I really other than Luck, I don't know who I would compare it to. Obviously Luck, you know, for years and years, Luck was going to be the guy when he came out of Stanford. So Zach Wilson's interesting because, you know, a few months ago before he was sort of slotted in at number two, I had a couple of team guys who, and when a lot of people were talking about Justin Fields, and I think I had tweeted something about Justin Fields during the NFL, or the college football playoffs, I had a couple of team guys who, like high level team guys, who texted me. They're like, man, no, no, no. Like the BYU kid. They're like, he is absolutely, he's going to be the second pick. He's the slam dunk number two quarterback. And they were of the opinion that they're like, hey, he could, you know, just wait and see. Like, he could push Lawrence, you know, in the NFL. Like, he's got that kind of arm, and, you know, he's got things, elements he brings to the table, particularly from a leadership aspect, that they really liked quite a bit. And, it, you know, his pro day was great, but I can't get out of my mind during my career having gone to Jamarcus Russell's pro day at LSU, and it was mind-blowing. I mean, it was the most unreal pro day I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that guy was throwing like 100-mile-per-hour Aroldis Chapman type throws. I mean, it was unbelievable. And every team I remember coming off the field that day was just like, this guy is unreal. And, you know, you saw what happened. And so there's just so many other factors at quarterback that cause people to make mistakes when they draft. And, you know, I think that's what's intriguing about this. I think of Justin Herbert, you know, last year, I had scouts who were way off him, who were just like, he doesn't have the leadership qualities. You know, some of what he was doing was a function of a good line, blah, 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 all these different things. And some of those same guys, one in particular who they passed on him as a quarterback, I had a guy call me like a month into the season, maybe it might have been 2 months, and he said I was completely wrong. I blew it. He said, I just watched two tapes on the kid on the NFL level, and he was like, I saw things immediately that I realized I just missed. And I think that's what's so fascinating about these quarterbacks. There's one of these guys is going to be great, and we're going to bang on him. People are going to bang on him for the draft, and one of these guys is probably going to be a complete dud, and you know, we're going to talk about ice the next Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes.
Gotta love some Chris Sims out there.
This is the draft. It's like, it's fun. Like, it's entertaining. It really is. It's entertaining. But I swear, I'm telling you, as much science as and analytics that goes into it, I mean, there's religion too. I swear, yeah. There's just this element of some people just have faith in certain players, and they get it in their head, and it's not going to change, and then it doesn't work out.
I mean, I still remember being in Indy with you at the Combine, whatever year that was, and the all the Russell stuff. You should go read that column you wrote back then, by the way. You probably get a couple laughs out of it.
What was which Russell stuff?
DeMarcus Russell.
DeMarcus
Russell.
Yeah.
I wrote that the Raiders should take Calvin Johnson. I wrote that. Yeah. Like that column is still somewhere out there where I was like, the Raiders are going to, this is the wrong fit for this team. Like, no matter how good this kid is, this is the wrong franchise for him to go to. They need to take Calvin Johnson. I screamed it from the rooftops, and it was probably one of the most right things I ever wrote. And that is, I mean, not to praise myself, but I mean, let's be honest here. We look at the NFL and we know the franchises that we feel like will ruin some players. And more often than not, we're right, particularly if the management stays the same. And you know what? I'm going to look at the Cincinnati Bengals and I'm going to say this. Joe Burrow goes there, he gets snapped in half because, I'm sorry, you can't drop a kid back in the pocket 60 times and with a line like that, and something bad's going to happen. We said it for weeks, and then it happened. I'm sorry, that's not a coincidence. It's not. And good organizations, I think, tend to not ruin players, and bad organizations, I think, over a long period of time, history shows they ruin good players. It's as bad as a good business and a bad business. And I think the Raiders under Al Davis, I mean, for a while there, they were just an unbelievably bad organization, and no matter who went there, and for decades, you know, the Bengals have been stuck in that same kind of situation.
Now I'm imagining Calvin Johnson not having to play his career for the Lions. So probably have double the numbers.
Hall of Famer there. Another Detroit Lions first ballot Hall of Famer.
That's right. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroll. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Amen. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Charles had to say there and get back into the Deshaun Watson news as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.